Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 54, episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Friday, October 26, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Sometimes I take all the shine, talk like a drunk Jack O'Brien, Kanye. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, you will find him stuck beneath the zeitgeist in a champagne supernova in the sky. Thank you so much to Doug Yefresh at DragonZordown. One on Twitter for that Oasis inspired AKA.
Man, I remember when I first heard that song like 5 years after it had been like a hit on the radio, and I was like, "Oh, this is so much better than Wonderwall."
Wait, you
Champagne Supernova?
Did you just not have that album?
I think I did.
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Yeah, I don't think I fully appreciated Champagne Supernova.
Oh, yeah,
in its first run on the radio.
That was the only other song I listened to on that album.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm deep.
Walking down the hall.
I was a deep seventh grader.
Fast. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. It's like, wait, what?
How do you do?
How can you do both?
13, Noel.
Yeah.
Can't handle this.
It's too much. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny, very smart, Catherine Spires.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm so glad that you set everyone up to think I'm funny and smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for
Got
that.
Got a lot to live up to.
I mean, if we were honest, I'd be like, the questionable, who knows? I don't even know if Catherine's a real name.
Right, which would be fairer to me, I think.
Really?
Well, because then I would only exceed expectations.
Yes.
The mediocre Catherine Spires.
Yay! Hey! So glad to be here.
Welcome.
Welcome.
You've got mail.
What? All right.
I got it.
It's a 90s tick that I have. I have to complete that. File's done. So.
All right. Catherine, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to take our listener. I'm out of practice, Miles.
Yeah,
I'm
one
a
day,
little rusty.
Your momentum's shot.
I was out yesterday. You guys, the rumor that I was out because I saw these packages being mailed around and just ran and hid somewhere it's not true. Okay.
Because you're such a liberal cuck.
I'm very brave. So we're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today, the goal of our show. We're trying to tell you what the nation is thinking and talking about, what's on America's mind and hiding in our unconscious. We use the headlines, box office reports, what's trending on Google and social media. And today we are saying a fond farewell to one Megyn Kelly. We are going to look at a list of the institutions that we have the most faith in America by party, because they're different depending on who you vote for. We are going to talk about the mail bomber and just all the different attempts to infer motive on both sides. We're going to talk about the New York Times reporting that China and Russia are listening in on Trump's phone calls.
No.
On his, like, third phone, on his jitterbug.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the Saudis' continuing to evolve story on the Khashoggi murder. We're going to talk about the caravan. We're going to talk about Dorcas Riley. We're going to talk Post Malone. We're going to talk about so much today, guys. There's a lot on our mind as a country. But first, Catherine, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
How to make money podcasting?
There you go.
Okay.
If anyone has any ideas.
No clue.
I'm just trying
to find out. Yeah. I live here. Yeah.
I know. I have a podcast, and I decided that was good enough to start a podcast network off of. So now I have that, and I'm like, oops. What now?
Hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
We got to start hanging out. No, I'm just joking. But
rude. We could hang out.
No, I was totally joking about hanging out. That will never happen, Catherine. What is something that you think is overrated?
Microdosing.
Is overrated?
Overrated.
Wow.
Microdosing, yes. LSD?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Or mushrooms or what have you.
Psilocybin, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're for megadosing.
Yeah, megadosing only. Mm-hmm. I think my problem with it is less like the taking of the drugs itself. It's the way it's becoming more talked about and more popular now.
Sure.
It's all these like Silicon Valley tech bros
right.
saying that they do LSD to be more productive at work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You fucking narcs, stop it. Yeah. If you're going to take drugs, do it for good reasons, not to like increase shareholder
value.
Have
you microdosed LSD?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Well, not LSD. I was doing mushrooms and I did it for a few months because I have like anxiety and like concentration issues. So I did it for all of these business reasons. And then I was like, I'm the least spiritual person on the planet right now. Right. Like, why? Don't do it to be more effective at work.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't do it as a thing to be like, if I do this little bit of LSD, it's going to help my job. I think if anything, you can. I did the same thing when I was working on a story like at Playboy because that Rolling Stone article came out a few years ago when it was like, microdosing is the new Adderall or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we met with this guy, James Fadiman, who's like the godfather of psychedelic research. Mm-hmm. And we microdosed at his house. And like, having him kind of walk through what was sort of going on helped me understand a little bit better how, like, what the benefits were. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm going to operate like this all day. Like, I think it could help if – I think it probably worked better for creative people or if you're a writer because I noticed a lot of self-editing or sort of the facilitating anxiety went away.
That's what I was trying to do is have less anxiety. But the thing, too, with mushrooms is that, like – if you get a basket of strawberries, you know, most of the strawberries are going to be like, these are good strawberries, and some are going to blow your mind, and some are going to be like, oh, what did I just eat?
Right.
It's the same with, like, these drugs.
It's not uniform across the board, right?
Yeah, like, so some days I'd feel really sick, and one time I was, like, friends with a neon alligator, so.
Oh, yeah. You may have pushed past the perceptual thresholds of using psychedelics, which is when you start tripping and not really getting the micro-dosing benefits.
I know, but how are you supposed to know if you accidentally took... I mean, there's
that's why I think LSD
do.
Is easier because what you do
lab
is
made.
Know, like you're diluting it at a certain level in distilled water, and then from there you're only taking like two drops, and then you can kind of regulate. But yeah, mushrooms are a little bit more
a little iffier.
Dice game.
I still think that I'm no one do it to work better.
No, and anyone who like is like, dude, it's my fucking secret. I'd be like,
that's what I do instead of coffee.
I'm like, sir, I only came up to you because I said you missed my stop and you're driving a bus.
Miles, when you were hanging out, so you're hanging out at the Timothy Leary of microdosing's house.
Yeah, me and Ram Dass. Yeah.
And then, like, did you guys do math problems? What
we did all kinds of stuff. So first we started trying to juggle to see, like, just to test our coordination. And then we did other things like board games, like simple sort of like motor skill tests. Like, so we played Operation and timed how quickly we could clear the board and how many mistakes we made. Mm-hmm. Or play Boggle or Yahtzee, which are like more like number or word things.
Yeah.
And I can't juggle at all. So like I went into this being like, dude, I don't care how much LSD I do. I'm not going to fucking start juggling.
Right.
And if I do, then you have a new customer. But my friend did, we did it together and he could juggle and he could do it like for a couple seconds. And then after like an hour into us microdosing, he did it like he almost couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Because he was just sort of like, he just didn't think about it.
Right.
And I, for the first time, got two balls going at one time. So it was a step forward. But the biggest thing was like, how much better I was at Operation. Because before, as he was talking to me, Dr. Fadiman's like, well, so what were you thinking when you were just doing it, when you were sober or not microdosing? I was just like, I don't know, just get it out as quickly as possible. But then I was worrying about my technique, how do I approach each thing? And the next time I did it, as he was sort of having me talk through what was going on, I was just sort of doing, I wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
And it was just less... there was just less thought going into things and more just kind of trusting myself a bit.
That's really funny because apparently that's the difference between doctors and surgeons is there's that like trope about surgeons being like kind of dumb.
Just
like, oh, I just did it.
I
just cut him open.
Right.
Just sick of my job.
Yeah. Hey, I'm hoping I get fired or something. But yeah, it was like those other things. And then also too, I found like even when we were on camera and when I'm on camera, you're performing to a certain extent.
Right.
And once he pointed out to us, he's like, before you started microdosing, when you were interviewing me, you were sat up like this and you were like very much like trying to get through your questions. You had everything figured out.
And
like
now you're laying face down on the floor.
No, I was literally, I was like reclined. I was so much, my body language was so relaxed and I was just having a conversation. Yeah. But it was little things. And then the beast move I did is I backed out a Mercedes Sprinter van with no rearview camera down the narrowest alley. None of the crew wanted to do it to mess up the rental car.
Wow.
And I was like, get me behind the wheel. And I finessed that thing out of the tightest driveway. Anyway,
Anyways.
But I'm not saying it's going to make you a superhero by any means. If anything, at best, you might do better at Operation.
All right. Yeah, so it's a performance-enhancing drug for Operation.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But also, there are, you know, as we're seeing, there are many other benefits for a number of issues for people's mental states as well.
That's more legit.
I think that's where, because I think recently the FDA just was sort of like being like, okay, we'll let you research
psilocybin.
Well, they'll
only let you test it on people who are terminally ill anyway.
Right.
So it's a limited group, but apparently it actually makes fear of death go away for the terminally ill. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But is that microdosing makes...
No,
is,
that's one
that's
where they
like
give
the
you
one,
like
right?
a shit ton for one day. But apparently right. just being high for 8 hours and then you're not afraid of death anymore, which everyone should
you
do.
Break through.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. What is something you think is underrated?
Sort of gentle Canadian comedies.
Okay.
I'm super into my Canadian sitcoms right now.
Okay.
Specifically Kim's Convenience and Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
There's something about both those shows that I don't know anything about Canada, but I like to think it's that they're Canadian. They just have the gentlest jokes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just so pleasant. You just sit down and have a nice time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Just trying to find a nice time.
I don't know Kim's Convenience.
It's on Netflix.
It okay, is.
Right? Yeah, that's the only reason I saw it. Because I don't. Is it airing in the U.S. outside of Netflix? Right.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. And it's just about this Korean Canadian family, and they own a little shop, and they go to church. And the one tension is that like the son and the father don't talk, but they're kind of working their way back to each other. Uh-huh. It's just like the nicest
like,
thing.
Yeah, there's stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like he was a science teacher who had cancer and he had to start making meth.
Exactly.
Like, whoa.
Exactly. They're really doing the work of just being an escape for people.
Nice.
Yes.
Which I like.
That sounds tense.
Schitt's Creek
though.
Is great too with Eugene Schitt's Levy
Creek,
and his
Catherine
kids.
Catherine O'Hara, I read that she didn't want to do a TV series because she's like, I don't want to be locked down. And they were like, we'll let you do whatever you want with the character. And you can tell when she is so funny.
She's so good.
She's amazing in this show.
Is it an improvised show?
It is not.
No.
Well, maybe
no.
there's
I mean,
a
I think
little
they,
bit.
Yeah, I think they have room to improvise
right.
a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's very much scripted.
And Eugene Levy's son is super hot. Who knew?
Yeah.
Bonkers, wild,
who
sexy.
Would've
known? What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Superfoods? Just the idea of them. The idea that like you could start eating a berry or a seed every day and that it'll change your life in any way whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
not going to happen.
Right.
There are some foods that if you ate 2 pounds of it raw every day could maybe help your health a little bit.
Mm.
Things like broccoli. Do not eat 2 pounds of raw broccoli every day.
Mm. Right.
Oh, and you should let people know that you know you have a background in
right.
food. You're not just some person be like, I don't fuck with antioxidants.
Yes. I mean, sure, eat your vegetables, but no, I'm a food writer and a food podcaster, so you don't have to trust me, but you should know that it's the thing that I read about all day,
all
every
the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What is a thing that people could, that maybe is there an underrated food, I guess, along that line where people, I think, like, well, just, or maybe something about your diet that we don't realize?
Very tiny doses of LSD.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Just dose everything.
And an eyedropper.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Then I've been doing that.
I think if people try and lose weight or whatever, I don't know, this idea of like eating certain things,
mm-hmm.
I really think it's like don't ever eat anything that was like prepackaged and processed.
Mm-hmm.
Just about health in general, not weight loss.
So McDonald's is good?
Yeah. No,
I told
no.
you, Jack. See?
Well, no, it tastes
no.
good. Here's
of
the
course,
so,
yeah,
like, it's... all this stuff with being a food writer and like being a food snob and stuff. I hate it when people say stuff like that. McDonald's doesn't taste good. Fuck you. Yes,
what?
It does.
What? Who says that?
People say that.
They're
and they're
up.
Lying.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, McDonald's employs like the best and the brightest scientists in the world and pays them millions of dollars a year to develop things that taste good.
Exactly.
Boom. It tastes good. It
and does. Now with that triple stack breakfast.
I know.
Right?
Watch out.
I'm in there like swimwear.
All right. Let's get into the stories of the day, guys. It's time to say peace to Megyn Kelly.
It's so hard.
Ah, oh, Megan, she gone. So for I think people were expecting her to get canceled fairly soon because her ratings were not going well and they were paying her an obscene amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not do herself any favors with her defense of blackface and then her apology, which started out by equating black people dressing up as lighter people with white people dressing up in blackface.
Yeah. Well, you know, she she has to show it's not just there are other people doing bad too.
Right.
It can't just be me and my shitty worldview. Right. Like, there are also people on the other side. And sure, maybe that could be distasteful, but they're not even comparable, Little Miss Megan. And then the way she yesterday was like, and then I found out yesterday that blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, you found out yesterday. And then did the Dave Chappelle, I'm sorry, I didn't know I couldn't do that defense.
And that defense apparently doesn't hold up in court. Or the court of public opinion.
Yeah, or at least NBC News. But she'll still get her obscene $69 million worth of her contract paid out. So,
Jesus.
What I don't understand is, did she think she was like being a badass when she was like, well, I don't know what's wrong with blackface? Because is she really that stupid?
I think so. Really? I don't know. Okay. I think she's that. I think that is her worldview, right? Is that I think she doesn't think that the like white supremacy is as pervasive or has like these long-standing effects on people that it does. And she's like, well, I look around and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Black people are millionaires.
Yeah.
What's wrong with a little blackface? I don't know. Or she could be a troll.
Yeah. I guess I'm doing the thing where I'm thinking that because she's rich that she's smart, that like common American mistake that we make. But she could just be that stupid. Because I read that she was like saying that NBC was being hypocritical for punishing her when they aired footage of The Real Housewives of New York in blackface, which is what got it all started, the conversation started in the first place. I'm like, do you think your job is the same as a Real Housewives of New York cast member?
Right.
Don't
you're
say
Luann.
That out loud. Like, you don't deserve your job then. You should be fired.
Yeah. I don't know.
I do think that this had to have been at least partially a calculated risk by her and like some producer being like, look, we need to like court controversy. Mm-hmm. Like, what's a controversial take that you think you can like back up? And because there's no way that she just hadn't been aware of blackface.
No, I don't.
That's impossible.
I don't buy that. Right. I think that she does believe that it's not as bad as everyone's all outraged about it. I think that's her stance on it. And I think she does know, yeah, I get that that's, you know, it has a historical legacy, but like, really, guys? Like, yeah. I feel like that was her attitude towards it. It's like, come on. Like,
right.
I wonder if her viewer numbers went up after that whole Santa Claus can only be white thing, and she thought she would try that route again.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I didn't
tell
even know
your
about
kids.
This.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A few years ago, she got in a fight on her old show what was it? It was about Santa Claus being different races in different malls.
And she said that.
And she was like, but Santa's white.
Right. Okay. Which... Yeah. No, that makes sense then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that definitely boosted her ratings on Fox News for sure.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, then maybe she decided to.
I mean, there's a reason that they have staged Wag the Dog style, a war on Christmas for the past like decade. The liberal left is trying to take away our Christmas because, yeah, their viewers eat that shit up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but it's a superfood.
It's wild how bad her ratings were. Or at least like what they saw from her going from her Fox show and thinking like, oh, okay, because that show, what, was getting
2.7 million?
2.7 million? And then...
I just knew that off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And
okay.
How much was her NBC show getting?
2.4. So she went down. I think their idea was once we take her from this small cable outlet to, you know, mainstream, she's going to be exposed to a lot of new people and they're all going to, you know, come on board. And it was actually just like 300,000 people who were fans of hers back at Fox News were like, nah, she sold out. And then like the rest of them came over and everybody else was like, oh no, we knew about Megyn Kelly. You do not need to tell
us
about
her.
Yeah, no, we knew about her. You guys can just keep her.
And then from Jump Street, like wasn't one of the first episodes when Jane Fonda came on? And then like, and that was like, that set the stage for like everyone being like, whoa.
Yes.
And then there was like, then I remember the next thing was like Will and Grace for that reboot came on and someone was talking about how they had, I think, come out or something because of seeing like Jack on Will and Grace or something. And then she was like, oh yeah, like I think the gay thing is really going to work out great for you or something like that.
Oh my God. Hmm. I think she's one of those assholes who thinks she's funny.
Yes.
And just says mean things to people and weird.
Right.
And also she's a morning show, right? Like the whole, like Kelly Ripa is bubbly.
Right.
Like, and if you're going to do the whole, like, blonde news anchor thing in the morning, you have to be, like, so friendly.
Yeah, not like Lucille Bluth in the morning, basically, is what Megyn
Kelly
is. She's
kind of like a young Lucille Bluth.
Well, she's kind of no bullshit, and then she's not going to be like, oh, ha-ha. Like, everything will be like, I'm going to fucking dig in here
and
really get into it.
Yeah, but also just will gladly
God, I
stick a knife in.
I would pay to see Lucille Bluth in the morning. If that was that a TV show, like amazing. My God.
And that's just the name of it too.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and it's hosted by Al Roker. I don't care, just for the name. I'll
just
be like, yes,
EP'd by Lucille yeah, Bluth. Yeah. That's executive produced for non-Hollywood people. You guys knew that. All right, let's talk about the institutions that we trust here in America.
Yeah.
It is a bummer.
Yeah. It's
who did this poll?
This was a poll by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and Georgetown University's Baker Center for Leadership and Governance.
Damn, you just sounded like a NPR interstitial.
You really did.
Thank you so much. Brought to you by Kale. And yeah, I think they used the firm YouGov, and they did 5,400 online interviews from June 12th to July 19th and basically asked people how they felt about certain institutions, ranging from at the top, you know, like the executive branch, religion, banks, major companies, local police, down to nonprofits, Facebook, Amazon, Google, labor, FBI, colleges, the press. And the results are, man, like the partisan gaps on some of these things are very pronounced. And it's very interesting to see who the most trusted institution is for either party.
Yeah. So on the right, not totally surprising, the most trusted institution is the military.
By far, yeah.
God bless the troops. by far. On the left, come on the left.
Right.
We need to try harder. Their most trusted institution is Amazon.
That is so embarrassing.
We're not gonna make it.
Oof.
Why?
Their next is colleges and universities, which seems defensible.
And then the military. But what's funny for Republicans too, Amazon's three.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all messed up.
We're all fucking on that Jeff Bezos teat.
But I also, there's so much I don't understand. Like, we're talking about who do you trust more, the military or Amazon? That's a real apples or oranges type situation. Right.
I think it's just
like
more like the language that they used to describe it. There was less negative sentiment. Like, it was a combination of things that generally they use that to create a metric about confidence versus, like, who do you inherently trust more with your safety, Amazon or the military?
Well, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. But even putting them on the same playing field, I guess. But except for why, maybe it makes total sense. They're both huge organizations that employ many people and are responsible for so much money.
Yeah, and provide things with for people. It's just like, in a way, like, I feel like that's what the future civil war is. It's like Amazon
right.
versus the military.
You're
like,
totally
that's
right.
our Skynet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. But so, that is the thing. Democrats are always so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
God, stop it.
Come the fuck on. So a big difference is how the right feels towards the press. Now, you're not going to believe this, guys, but their least trusted institution on the right is the press.
Yeah.
Just the press at large. And they're the seventh most trusted or sixth most trusted on the left.
Right.
So still not doing
and
great.
And the left's least trusted? I mean, this makes sense. The
executive
branch. Of course. So.
And the executive branch is the fourth most trusted on the right, of course.
After Amazon, though.
After Amazon.
True.
Because they know a real billionaire when they see one, at the very least.
Deep down, they know.
Deep down.
Local police is the right's second most trusted. Yeah.
And for the left, it's colleges and universities. I mean, it all kind of, like, most of these kind of make sense. Like,
oh, it
what
pans
the positive.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the Amazon thing that I'm still trying to wrap my head around a little bit, you know? Like, I get that you're like, well, when I say next day Prime, it shows up.
Right.
And when they don't, they text me and they're like, we fucked up. It's coming the next day. And here's a little 10% thing to make you feel good. I don't know if, like, just because of customer service, but.
Oh,
yeah.
We're also easy. We're just easily swayed.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it comes
And it could just be because for some people, especially like if you live in a remote part of the country or something, like having something like Amazon probably does really help you in some way by being able to get goods quickly or whatever. But I mean, come on though, like as an institution.
They made millions and millions of people's lives more convenient and most of them don't have to work for Amazon.
Right.
So
that's the other funny thing
too. Worked out really well for them. But yeah, I mean, this is probably something that needed to happen for Jeff Bezos to be able to come, but otherwise I don't know what impact it has other than
he just
like,
looks at the stats of this and says, oh my God.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm number one.
I was surprised that banks are one of the right's most trusted, like the fifth most trusted thing on the right, like after the financial collapse.
I think they're like, I like my credit union.
You think?
I don't know.
Maybe
like,
that's it.
I have this thing where I almost, like, this sounds kind of crazy. I feel like leftists and rightists have totally different brains, like different operational systems.
Yeah, no,
almost,
very clearly.
And for Republicans, people who choose to be Republicans are people who are like, I believe in institutions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences mm-hmm. don't matter. It is a bank, ergo it is good.
Right. Hmm.
Yeah, that's probably true. The press is an institution.
But what's funny is
would you talk to the right for me, please?
Yeah. And, nonprofits are right after banks for the right, though, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. The only thing that really sticks out is that Amazon is the left's one true god.
Mm. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and as we record this, the number one and number five top trending thing on Google Trends are George Soros at number one and then Soros at number five.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple reasons for that. We'll start with one of the stories. The mail bomber story continues to unfold in kind of a ridiculous way. The latest bombs went to Joe Biden, which is kind of not that's surprising, but also Robert De Niro, because he said that screw Trump thing, fuck Trump
fuck
thing.
Trump.
Yeah. Which just seems like petty almost.
Yeah.
They're trying to bomb De Niro. But I don't know. The mistake to me seems to be to try to assume anything about the motives of any mail bomber, because mail bomb people who like attack people through the mail always end up being like having the most confusing, fucked up, unexpected motives. The anthrax mailer, we were like, well, it's clearly Al Qaeda because 9/11 just happened. And it was just like some, I mean, we haven't like officially solved it, but most people think it's this guy who killed himself once people started looking at him. And he was a scientist who was just sending it because of like weird grievances he had against a bunch of people, including like a sorority from like his college or something that he thought mistreated him. There was a woman a few years back who mailed a bomb to Obama, but it turned out it was only to frame her husband. And then the Unabomber turned out to be a 19th century Luddite.
Yeah, and just hated Harvard.
Yeah, he was just like, fuck you. So I don't know. Any attempt.
But how could you look at all these people who have been on the receiving end, and if even at the wackiest weave a narrative where you're like, oh, that's weird. It uniquely ended up being all of these people without it having some kind of partisan bend to it.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems...
Not to, like, you know, blow that argument up.
No, it definitely seems intended. Like it does. We just don't know who or...
Right, right,
you know,
what explicitly motivated.
Sure. I mean, assuming it's a mentally ill person because the, you know, writing and all, like, a lot of the details of this make it seem like it... the person might not be fully stable. Who knows if it's a mentally ill person on the left trying to say, you know, it just doesn't...
Right, to like, fuel the narrative that like, hey, man, people on the right, they're right. Really trying to come after.
And yeah, we just don't know. But that has not stopped the right from immediately assuming that it's a false flag. There was a woman at a rally that was holding up a sign that said, Democrats... fake news, fake bombs.
Oh, isn't that what Lou Dobbs tweeted? And
oh,
then
he
had to delete it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, so that's how quickly shit travels. Like, he did that and he was like, ooh, I'm going to delete that. And then it ends up being on someone's cardboard box outside of a rally.
I think most of Lou Dobbs' tweets come from cardboard boxes, actually. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing Rush Limbaugh was saying. It's just wild that, I mean, again, we don't know who or why these bombs are being sent, but it would seem like it's being sent at people who have criticized Trump. So you would think they would be the ones who would be like, let's not like go pointing any fingers, guys.
Right.
But instead, they're like, it's probably you guys. Almost definitely it's the left.
That's so just.
It's
on.
Wild, man.
Come on. Like on some level, like we can't even agree across the aisle that political terrorism is bad.
Right.
In general. Like they couldn't even just come out and be like, yes, I would say that sending a bomb to someone would count as an act of some kind of a terrorist
like,
act.
Like, end of story. We don't have to argue about someone doing it fake.
Right. Based off their political views. And it, like, even Ben Sasse, who I fucking highly dislike his politics, was even like, hey, we got to at least say, like, terrorism, politically motivated terrorism, is not good.
Right.
Which is, you know, but again, you have people still caping for this idea that it's just like this false flag. Like, you guys are doing it to try and win the midterms thing. And it's like, I get that it looks bad for the right, but you can still be decent and just say like, hey, yeah, this isn't good. That doesn't mean you've instantly confessed to like causing the motivation for someone to do this.
Well, it makes me wonder if either the person who's doing this or a copycat is going to start sending bombs to Republicans to like throw us off the chase or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so the latest details of the actual investigation make it seem like this is not going to be a hard case to solve. They're saying that anybody who sends this many devices and they remain unexploded will probably have left behind a number of, you know, genetic markers that will be able to be used.
Right.
And actually, Larry Johnson, a former head of criminal investigation and
not the
Charlotte
Hornets.
Hornet. Yeah.
Oh, thank God. We were both on the same. Grandma
L Train said, if there is a human involved, there is a high probability you're going to get somewhere investigatively. There will be no stone left unturned. It's just weird that he like opened up with a hint of like, it could be a fucking cyborg.
Like,
if there is a human involved.
Hold on, Larry. Are you time traveling and you forgot what era you're in? They're like, oh, this is before Amazon took over the world. Yes, a human being.
Probably a human.
If there is a human involved, most certainly there is.
Yes.
Almost definitely.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm willing to say that maybe there's something new.
Yeah.
And
this
could be the beginning of a really great sitcom.
Life is a constant surprise.
Yeah, it really is.
Life is like a hurricane, kind of. Has anybody looked into Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
I know, right? The return address, I mean.
What if that, like, in the person's mind who was sending it, like, did they think the FBI was just going to be like, well, it says your name, lady. Hey, you're coming with us.
Debbie, we got to talk. What's going on with this bomb shit?
Just no follow-up.
I guess, or that's just their even more devious plan to get something then, like a secondary target is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So, because that's what happened with, was it Eric Holder's package? Went to her office because it was the return address. Because
it was the return. Right.
Oh, so weird. I wonder if there's something purposeful to the fact that none of them have exploded yet, which I hope they continue to not explode.
Yeah.
But is that just someone who's not very good at it, or if it's like, this is only a warning?
It's a good question
we
were asking earlier.
It's very early.
Is this a Die Hard 3 situation where you've got like the fake grape juice bomb and they're just like using it as a distraction to actually sneak across our borders?
Right.
Am I right, guys?
Oh, gosh.
No.
Wait, was it the fake one in Die Hard with Vengeance? Was that the one at Chester A. Arthur Elementary School?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they like puncture it and they
and
think
it gets
they're
in
about
his
to
face
blow up and
like,
he goes, it's grape juice.
It's syrup or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we don't know why they're not blowing up. It could be that the person just does not know what the fuck they're doing.
Or it's an inept cyborg.
Right.
AI is so good that they're like dumb ones now.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's like, I got the wrong recipe from the anarchist's cookbook.
One thing that this person has managed to do is get the president to not call people out by name, because at his rally last night, like, he was too scared to say the names of the people who are the targets, because he knew that if he like said, and Hillary got a package, people would be like, lock her up.
Right.
And in fact, that happened earlier at like that rally or at a Republican rally. And if he had said Obama, who knows what horrible things the crowd would have chanted. So he had to just like make vague reference to.
Right. And then blame the press.
Right. And then he blamed the press, which is just, I mean, he's good at what he does.
Well, yeah. His number one defense is blame the victim immediately.
Yes.
It's like, I mean, dude, if someone sent you a bomb, like, take a look at yourself. Probably. Right. Someone's got maybe you need to do something different. I don't know. Anyway, lock her up.
Oh, he's so gross. He's so embarrassing.
Really is.
Yeah. And it's just really whack to then have him act like he's going to somehow unify the country when you're actively just driving a wedge between everyone. And then suddenly you want to act like you could unify the country. No, that ship has set sail.
And it's so easy to get drawn into speculating into, is he crazy like a fox, or is he just not all there?
Is he just pooping himself?
Yeah. It could be both.
Starting to think he's crazy like a fox.
Really?
Yeah. But or like he's like a fox that he's just like accidentally has the right personality defects to be like well designed for this media environment. But whatever it is, it's working well for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he's
cool.
Only 9 points underwater in terms of disapproval versus approval. So, New York Times says that he is actively being listened to every time he has a phone conversation.
Yeah.
Which is just wild. Like, that is like just taking a step back and pretending that it's 5 years ago and we didn't know the president was going to be Donald Trump. Imagine if you just found out that, like, the Russians and the Chinese were listening in on every phone conversation the president had. It would be like, shit, what?
Like, how is that happening?
Yeah.
Well, the reason that happens is because he apparently has 3 phones. So he has 2 phones that the Secret Service have, like, fully outfitted to be, like, just impenetrable. And one is just made for Twitter. So he has one that's like, here's your president's phone.
It's his toy.
Because you're the leader of the free fucking world, if you didn't realize yet. So you don't want people just doing sweet eavesdropping on you. And here's your Twitter thing. But then he has a 3rd phone, which is just an unprotected. It might as well just be a fucking jitterbug off the shelf of CVS, because this has nothing built into it to protect the communications on it. And apparently that is the phone that he uses to make a lot of private calls to, like, call friends. And the Russians and Chinese are like, well, let's listen in on his chat so we can see how to push his buttons or manipulate him.
Yeah.
And also, like, build a list of influence targets based on his phone calls to be like, oh, yeah, okay, he talks to this guy a lot. Let's see if we can access him through this guy or this woman or whoever. So,
well, I think it's interesting that they're doing it in a way for Trump specifically. They're not trying to get secrets. It seems like every time they talk about it, they're always like, we're figuring out how to talk to this guy to get what we want.
Right.
Like, it's like the easiest. They probably have like a psychiatrist and they're not like a spy being like, so how you want to approach this asshole?
Sure. Right. Yeah.
I don't know if you need a psychiatrist to like figure out what's going on with him and how to manipulate him.
I mean, wave a bag of money in front of him and you can do whatever.
I really do wonder how much of what they're getting is just them being like, okay, so Hannity is like, his weakness is this.
Right.
Because Trump, it's like, the guy's an open book.
Right. Or if you're like, if we can get
Hannity
saying,
it's an open coloring book.
Right. If they're like, if we can get into Hannity's head and get him talking this way, that will have a knock-on effect with Trump in this way.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we're in here on a second-rate podcast already figuring out how we can use these call transcripts to further our aims.
Jesus.
But yeah, I mean, this was a thing too. I remember like when he first started, there was this whole thing like he didn't want to give up his phone.
I just think you can just picture it, that all the advisors in the Secret Service being like, sir, really, we have to give you this new phone. And he's like, but it has my number.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't have understood. It's like his binky. He won't give it up.
He's like, I don't want to change my number.
Yeah.
Then I have to go through the thing, and then I'm going to have to do the new phone, who this thing. I don't know. It's just, it's too much for me. But I don't know. You think on some level, right, the government, like, we have to build into the Constitution that if you're the president, right, that your communications are of the utmost, like, importance and need to be protected. So you should be, like, the Secret Service should be able to just be like, give me your fucking phone, motherfucker. I'm gonna smash this shit up.
I think 2 things. One, he is so unprecedented in his, like, complete disregard of, like, the way things should be done that, like, he just startled a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They were like, we did the protocol, and he said no.
Right.
What do we do with
people
that?
People respect
yeah.
that. No.
Right.
Okay.
But then also, I think, as with any other industry, no one's caught up really to the technology.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's just like anything. Just because they're the government doesn't mean that they're better at, like, dealing with technological advances.
Right. It's all those big hacks that, like, took down major websites and banks and stuff. It's like, that's how they figured out that they needed to do security.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I've brought this up before. Like, when the Vikings first started pillaging Europe, like, the thing that made them so fierce is that they didn't care about a Christian God. So when they saw a church, they were like, you got one bald-headed dude in a robe and all that gold in there? And everyone's like, we're not going to touch that because of God. And they're like, watch me burn this fucking thing down and chop everyone up, and I'll take your gold.
Right.
Because before, there was that idea, religion was protecting these things. Yeah. But then you get a group coming in who are like, okay, nice plus sign.
Interesting.
Taking this.
Oh, I like that.
A little history for you.
Yeah, look at that. All right, and the Saudis, seeing their opportunity that there's a lot of crazy shit going on in America, were like, okay, time to tell the truth, maybe, a little bit. Because they were just like, let me check real... Oh, okay, yeah, we totally premeditated, murdered that dude.
Yeah,
after
saying they didn't.
Okay, I thought we were talking about a different guy.
Right.
Okay, yeah, Jamal Khashoggi.
Right.
Yes, okay, yes. That wasn't me, though. Yeah, I guess once CIA chief Gina Torture? What torture? Haspel listened to the tapes of, like, the actual recordings of Khashoggi's murder, they were a little more inclined to agree with the Turkish intelligence opinion that it was premeditated. But still were just like, yeah, I guess some planning went on. That's weird. But you know what? Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, he knew nothing about it.
Right.
And I know we're a country that routinely, aggressively surveils the activities of our citizens. But I guess this one, I don't know. I guess this one slipped through the cracks or something. Huh. Well, anyway, so what do you think about that? What do you think about that arms deal?
Exactly.
Nick, did you just play the Trump goddamn it drop?
Damn it.
God damn it.
Oh, the insincere goddamn it when Omarosa got fired? For people who don't realize what that soundbite was.
That does deserve a insincere goddamn it.
God damn it, really? All right, I'm going to talk to my guys. That should not have happened. Yeah.
If anybody wasn't listening back then, Trump was on the phone with Omarosa. Clearly just doing the worst job of pretending he was just finding out about that. I just found out.
You got
You're
fired?
Telling me they fired you? God damn it.
And it's like, wow, all right. It's just like the best thing to, yell out when you forget your wallet on a date.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it. I'm so sorry.
Can or you if one? You're Miles and forgot your wallet.
Yeah, at lunch every Wednesday, like clockwork. Thank you for paying, Jack and Nick.
And then just really briefly with the caravan, just a reminder, somebody tweeted us and was like, yeah, why do my parents think that this caravan was started by George Soros and the Democrats? This has apparently become a very effective tool for the Republicans. So just a reminder for anybody who's talking to Republicans who are like, we're being invaded. This happens every year, multiple times a year, that there's a caravan going up through Mexico towards the U.S. border. The last time they acted like this was a mass invasion, only a handful of people ended up even getting to the U.S. border. These are, in a lot of cases, women and children who are looking to live safer lives. They're gay and, you know, LGBT, trans people who are, you know, escaping persecution, and they're 1,700 miles away and traveling on foot and deserve your sympathy. And also, a Guatemalan journalist looked into that video y'all were passing around, because the right was apparently passing around a video where members of the caravan were being paid money, and they were like, this is Soros's people, very clearly.
Right.
This is the Democratic Party handing out cash. It was actually locals, like local businesses and local retailers, who were just handing out money to the people, like, here, good luck. Like,
just to be kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be, like, human kindness, which is a thing that...
No, that's George Soros, dude.
Right.
Because I think that's all it is. Empathy equals George Soros's dark...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, and they use that anti-Semitic thing of, like, you know, there's this wealthy Jewish guy who's pulling all the strings. And, like, it's like, hey, for $20, you want to walk 1,700 miles?
Right.
Is that... Yeah. The deal that they took?
Right.
Would you take that deal?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I don't understand. And again, it's just this tactic they always, like, it's so easy to just use George Soros because he's a wealthy person who's a philanthropist, and his money typically goes to causes on the left that they're just like, oh, well, you know, he pays everyone to do everything. He pays people to have moral outrage. He pays people to be decent or be morally scrupulous. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. Just be aware for all that BS when it comes to George Soros.
That is what the other part of the country. Well, we're all praying to our Amazon gods on the left. The right is worried about this mass invasion.
For people who are also saying they're being paid by George Soros, you can very quickly show someone who may be skeptical on the right to look at what life is like for people in these countries. That, you know, Guatemala is one of the most impoverished countries, and look at things like that and say, those are the things that are the catalyst for migration. It's not because they want to come bum rush Karen's lake house in Minnesota.
Article,
you know,
amazing.
What I mean?
That article great.
And like, just take a look at where they're coming from, because you're not going to be like, oh, wow, why would you leave that place?
Yeah.
You're going to also, dude, just get people up on history a little bit, you know? Look at what we do down there.
It's
what
a lack of empathy there. On the right that, again, yeah. goes back to my theory about them having different brains. Like, some people are really just trying to make a better life for themselves.
Well, I think, you know, also, it's if you have a scarcity or abundance mentality, too, where if everything is scarce, right, mm-hmm. then there's no room for anyone else.
Right. Right.
And even it might, in your worldview, it might not necessarily be that you feel that someone coming to this country cuts that off, but these people could also be the kind of people who are like on the freeway and don't let people cut like into their lane.
You're so right.
Because they're like, no. I'm sorry. I was here already. You're going to have to get behind me.
Yes.
Right. Where it's like, because I don't know what you think letting that person in does to you. Like, that fucks you up. That's going to make you late or your ego or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there's this zero-sum game for people who have no empathy, where it's like, I'm sorry, if we do, then I cease to have electricity.
Right, if you
or
have a thing, then I don't have
right.
a thing.
Right, yeah, there's zero
so much,
sum.
Yeah, there's so much shit here for everybody.
Yeah. Well,
bow to my pickup truck. So the journalist who tracked down the people from that video and the people who were supposedly being paid by Soros was Guatemalan, and I think that video was actually from Guatemala, but most of the people in the caravan are from Honduras, which also has really rough conditions. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and the name Dorcas has been traveling all over the place mm-hmm. on TV, online, because a young woman by the name of Dorcas Riley, who invented the green bean casserole back in 1955, has passed on. And yeah, she's a legend.
Yeah.
She comfort is. Food game.
Is yeah. her name pronounced Dorcas? Do we know?
It's probably got some lovely pronunciation that we aren't even imagining.
Does
right
it like Dorcas? Dorcas?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
I don't Dorca?
Dorca.
Is it silent?
I like that.
Dorca.
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 That actually kind of makes sense.
Dorca yeah. Riley.
Yeah, Riley is, Dorca is where that Riley. Falls, around, yeah. falls apart.
Yeah.
Well, Hola, me llamo Dorca Riley.
She invented the green bean casserole.
That's pretty big.
That's like a pillar of American comfort food.
Absolutely. So what's the key ingredient in that? Is it cream of mushroom?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Cream
well,
of
like,
mushroom
Every
soup.
Casserole, right, is cream
yeah.
of mushroom
cream
and cream of
mushroom
chicken?
Mixed with everything else.
Well, you know, I mean, it was invented to sell cream of mushroom soup.
Well, good for
Wait,
her.
What was the casserole?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, because had they not rolled out cream of mushroom yet? Or
no,
they did
had,
and they're like, yo, sales are fucking up, right?
So many of the recipes that we consider like classic Americana are not from home kitchens. They're from food manufacturers.
Right.
And that's because post-World War II, they had all these factories that they had to do something with. They're like, we'll do processed food now. We'll invent that. And then we have to teach people how to cook with it.
Oh, that's why everything's basically a box recipe. Like, what's on the box typically precipitates what we were like, oh, that's an old family corporate suggestion.
Yeah, yeah, right. Totally. And there'd even be like little pamphlets that they'd attach to bottles and stick in the boxes and stuff like that. Because it's here's this food product. Here's how you have to use it, by the way, because you've never done it.
Right.
And that's why like all the different Jell-O recipes from the mid-century where they were like, just put anything you want in it.
I know.
Right.
Because they were like, please just put
like
anything
with ham?
You want in
lime
it.
Lime Jell-O with ham.
Yeah.
Ooh, what is that?
Exactly.
Someone
Lime Jell-O with shrimp.
I forget who. One of my white friends was telling me about their family. Like, there's a salad that mm-hmm. they eat with ham and Jell-O.
Yeah.
So upsetting.
No, the 70s was crazy, man. That was like, they just realized, like, Jell-O came out, and it just, like, people didn't know how to act for some mm-hmm. reason. Like, just, I think it was like they were like, is it a solid? Is it a liquid? Mm-hmm. We don't know what the fuck to do. And so, like, go check out a 70s cookbook, y'all. It is so funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. I follow an Instagram page like that of
yeah.
just wild 70s.
Yes.
Just
a Jell-O mold. And they're so horrifying. And yeah. it's like, oh, this is why people were skinny. They didn't want to eat anything.
Right.
It's all gnarly.
Everything sucked.
Well, in my mind, I'm like, well, it must be palatable if it's a family thing they keep making. And then they're like, no, it's awful. And I'm like, what? Why make
these Jell-O salads are real rough.
Yeah. Like, I saw one with hollandaise sauce on mm-hmm. it. It was like
Jell-O with
Yeah, it was like a banana, ham.
Yeah.
Miles just took his shirt off. Yeah. He's very mad.
Well, because on my dad's side, really solid Southern cooking, barbecue tradition on my dad's side. And my mom's Japanese, so very good Japanese food. So, like, mm-hmm. I never had, like, the closest to that kind of thing was, like, I don't know, marshmallows on yams or something. But, never like
Which
Jell-O.
Which is kind of in the same vein.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's, like, the closest thing of, like, oh, okay, I see how that came off a bag or whatever.
Dorcas Riley also invented tomato soup cake.
Oh, okay. So was are
Wait,
you
what's
saying
tomato
that,
soup cake?
Are you saying that Dorcas was one of these food chemists?
She absolutely was.
She was a corporate food chemist?
She was. Yes, oh, wow. She got her college degree in home economics, which is something that sounds lame and sad now.
Right.
But at the time was like a way for women who wanted to be scientists to actually get a degree
right.
in science.
All this yeah. means is
and they
that
couldn't even
she
call
would...
that shit science, dude. Right. Right. Economics. Right. Shit, home economics. Yeah.
All this means is that she would have cured cancer right. if they had just let her do yeah. anything except STEM, for home
yeah.
ec.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was all the chemistry of all these packaged foods.
Wait, what's tomato soup cake?
Okay, so with cakes, like chocolate cakes especially, uh-huh. richly flavored cakes, you just need a liquid element so that they aren't dry. And it turns out that depending on the other ingredients, it doesn't really matter what your wet ingredients are. So
what do you mean it doesn't matter? Like it won't affect the...
It won't affect the flavor so much. So if you have a tomato soup cake, you're basically making a chocolate cake and adding a can of Campbell's tomato soup for it into it. And that adds like a little bit of spicy saltiness, and people like salt in their sweets yeah. way much more than they think they do. And right. then it also might add a little bit of that color that we also get from red velvet cakes. Because red velvet cakes used to actually look like chocolate, which is the main ingredient, with like a hint of red.
It's like a devil's food cake
yeah.
originally, right?
Is it That's red? Exactly. Exactly what it is. Yeah. There's another variation on that is mayonnaise cake, which is chocolate cake with a shit ton of mayonnaise in it.
And do you add these ingredients just like as a prank? Or like, is it just to be like, yo, you just ate mayonnaise cake, idiot.
R.I.P. your arteries.
No, not at all. It's actually
just
it
so
tastes
rich,
good.
I'm sure,
because
all that
exactly.
fat in there.
And it won't dry out. You add mayonnaise to something, it's not going to dry out.
Yo, tomato soup cake, that sounds actually... I want to try all these things. I'm going to have to do the Dorcas Grand Prix then.
Totally. And it'll also be a journey through Americana.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Tomato soup cake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shout out to you, Dorcas, Dorcas, or Dorca, whatever it is.
Isn't there a stereotype that like white families have terrible like taste in food?
Yes.
There is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi, have you just seen Twitter? Unseasoned is a word technically
like,
used all the time.
Yes.
I feel like this is not helping.
No.
The legacy of Dorcas.
Yeah, but still.
Dorca.
But if you're elevating a cake with a can of tomato soup, that sounds like it could probably, I doubt right. it tastes terrible.
Sorceress.
I yeah. think it's a really interesting idea, and I think it's also, you have to think about context, because sure. this truly was an era where all the weapons manufacturers switched to food, and were
yeah.
like, we need to sell product. We have to push this so
right.
hard. And
that's interesting.
All these recipes come from the manufacturers
we'll
themselves.
Kill you through your intestines
yeah.
rather
right.
through
and you'll
ballistics
thank us for
injuries.
It. Yeah.
Right.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I didn't know that about the factories.
I like how when I brought it up, you're like, oh, do you really want to go there?
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I guess we will when we get on mic. And then you just were like, yeah, homie, you're eating the Bullet Factory cake.
Yes, I can't
so,
be stopped.
let me take a couple steps back. This guy Adolf Hitler, right?
yeah. Whoa, huh?
hear me out.
let's talk Post Malone.
Postmates Malone.
This apparently impresses some people. I'm not super impressed, but Post Malone has spent over $40,000 on Postmates so far this year.
It's a thing we've seen, right? Like, we talked about, what's homegirl's name? Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Did a gnarly amount of Postmates.
It was like $100,000, I thought.
Yeah, something
what?
Wild. Sophie, just showed me an image or an article that said that Rob Kardashian was spending $13,000 a month on Blac Chyna's pregnancy needs on Postmates.
Okay.
I guess it's just because you're so lazy, because when you look at what Post Malone has ordered, I guess when you compare it to Jessica Simpson has a bunch of kids
right.
and an athlete husband who's probably eating wild, but also Post Malone, I can imagine he eats pretty well too. he's always ordering from, I guess, Pink Dot, Chick-fil-A, Ralph's, Burger King, Popeyes, KFC, Petco, Panda Express, GameStop, and CVS.
Yeah.
So it sounds like somebody who just hates to leave the house.
I
yeah.
feel like it's mostly cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
like that dude is just...
And Bud Light.
Yeah, cigarettes and Bud Light.
That was the thing. It's such a huge amount of money, and it's not even stunting.
No.
Because you're not getting anything good.
Right.
No, yeah.
like,
you're not
talking
like,
about how much he likes the garlic bread from Ralph's, which is fine, but like... Eh.
Yeah, like go to Smokehouse.
Yeah.
You
know?
Get,
right.
get that
yeah.
real OG garlic bread in LA. But this is one thing that I'm like, yo, he takes his food seriously, because when he orders from Raising Cane's, which is probably one of my favorite chicken finger places,
mm-hmm.
fast food places. He asks specifically, they open the boxes a little bit so all that moisture doesn't just render the breading soft and
yeah.
soggy, which is
so
a lot of things.
Pro.
He's
knows,
a pro.
Yeah.
Yo, if you order enough Postmates, you know the fries come
yeah.
fucked up. Anything fried comes fucked up when
yeah,
they don't
right.
properly aerate or ventilate
mm-hmm.
the container.
It's funny, I read that article the same way. I was like, come on, dude. And then I read that Raising Cane's thing, and I was like, all right, okay, yeah. All right.
I was like, you get it. Yeah. You get it. Yeah. And there's only a few places in L.A., like when you order from Postmates, the restaurants I repeat order from are the ones I can tell when they're packing it for to-go. They're like, they thought about how it's going to travel in the containers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
At Plan Check, if you get it from Postmates, they make sure their fry box is like somewhat open too, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's good.
As a food critic, Catherine, are there any fries that hold up that can last longer than like 15 minutes out of the fryer?
Nah, at that point, don't do it. I always think if you're ordering food, don't order fries.
Yeah.
Because it's just, they aren't going to be good. You want a sublime French fry experience, I think. Yeah.
What's your favorite fry?
In L.A.? In the world?
Let's start wide and zoom in. Okay. In the world.
Yeah. Back to an earlier point, don't front about McDonald's fries not being good.
Yeah. They're so good.
Yeah.
They coat them in sugar, so they're delicious.
Right.
So if we're just talking about delicious, I'm sure that there's plenty of places in Northern Europe that triple fry them, serve them with mayonnaise. Yeah, and they're amazing.
I mean, Bruges is so ghetto, though. It's like so old. It's like, forget about it.
Who are you, Nick? When we said Berlin was lit, and he was like, Berlin.
I mean, Vienna is beautiful.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the Viennese are just such a wonderful people.
They truly are.
Okay, and so McDonald's is all around, you're saying?
Yeah, why not? But people like different kinds of fries, so that's a skinny fry, obviously. One thing that's like a huge travesty is cooking French fries in vegetable oils as opposed to beef tallow. And so McDonald's switched to vegetable oil. A place up in Seattle called Dick's, which is like legendary, they switched over from beef tallow to vegetable oil. And it makes everything not good. And also, if you are eating at a burger place anyway, don't be like, oh, I don't want to eat beef tallow because it's like kills too many animals or it's bad for the environment. Like you're already in. Yeah. You're stuck in. You're eating at a burger place.
Yeah.
And beef tallow, it comes from the animals that are being killed for meat, so you're killing the animal anyway, so eat all of it.
Yeah, right. Don't waste it. Ugh, beef tallow fries,
See, that's the thing, it actually is better for the environment and it tastes better, so do it up, dude.
I mean, we're not saying that fries have any sort of nutritional value, because there was a study that's like, it's actually one of the grossest foods you could eat for yourself.
They're a fun time food.
Yeah, right. 100%. But when you have a beef tallow fry, it will change your viewpoint.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell did an episode of his podcast where he was like, I just realized like most people haven't had a beef tallow fry because McDonald's changed like in the 90s.
Yep. Yeah. And it was all because of some millionaire who had a heart attack and made it his whole thing to get people to stop using beef tallow for frying.
He was like, we all eat garbage bags full of fries every day.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we'll start from there.
And it's like, your guys' fault for my heart attack. So everyone loses now.
Is there an especially like amazing fry that's like a very specific place?
Or? Here in LA, the Oinkster does a really good fry.
Oinkster,
And again, that's because they triple fry it. I think maybe in an animal fat. Seems right.
I know Plan Check does beef tallow.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the thing too. Like for instance, that's like why In-N-Out people hate their fries, and they're like, why do we hate In-N-Out fries? It's because they chop up the potatoes right there in the restaurant and only fry them once.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
They're terrible.
I love them.
They're really bad.
I get light fries.
You get light fries. Yeah. That's the way to do it. People talk about well done. That's
No, light. No. You got to get light. That's the hack right there.
Exactly.
And chop chilies in your double-double.
Californians are so weird about In-N-Out.
I know.
We're such freaks. I'm there, right there with you. Yeah. I get a root beer float and people are always like, you can do that? And I'm like, like, you can do whatever
watch
you
this.
Want.
Grilled cheese, please.
There may be an Indiana Jones world coming to Disney World.
Yeah. Well, I guess for the 50th anniversary of Disney World, they're talking about possibly building an Indiana Jones themed space. Now, I know right now they're definitely making like a Toy Story Land and the Star Wars like Galaxy's Edge thing, which I'm all in for that. But the Indiana Jones one, I don't quite understand if they make it what the draw is, because there's not like the fandom is not as rabid for like a full-fledged section of a theme park for Indiana Jones. And also I just feel like it's going to look like a bunch of old dusty shit. Whatever Indiana Jones world. I just think dust.
I know. I wondered if there was some booming sales in DVDs of all the Indiana Jones movies that we don't know about because it's not sexy. I was like, why? Why this?
Well, I mean, the first three movies are really good, but they're not good in a way that is like immediately transferable to a theme park. It's just like those are fun adventure movies that like nailed a very specific aesthetic, but like it's not, I don't know.
There's not a universe around it, right. I can imagine where I'm like, oh, yeah. Nazis and just
right.
being.
We don't need to go to a theme park to see Nazis anymore.
Yeah.
There's Nazis everywhere.
Let's turn
in
on the
Florida?
News.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I will say though that the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland in California, it's the perfect balance for me of scariness and adventure.
Mm.
It's never too steep.
Wait, what scares you on that one? Is it when the arrows fly by? And
no, I'm just saying that like Splash Mountain is too scary for me.
Oh, you mean like for the thrill, like the sensation
yes.
of it? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought you were
not
looking around and you're like, what's the Brer Rabbit doing this shit?
No.
Yeah,
I should say the steepness,
okay.
I guess, of the roller coaster.
I had a much better time thinking of you just like, just white, just all the blood left your face, and you're just in a constant state of horror as you go through.
Listen, I just get really into storytelling.
Yeah, right.
Live it.
Yeah.
So maybe if all the roller coasters or whatever in the Florida version are just like,
yeah, because all they
too scary.
Yeah, they just have a stunt show. Like we're lucky in Disneyland, we have Indiana Jones ride.
Yeah.
And then I think in Paris Disney, there's a roller coaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called Temple du Peril, which is so funny. Temple of Peril.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so
fantastic.
French. Catherine, it's been so fun having you.
Thank you.
What a guest.
Thank you so much.
Is there some place that people can find you online?
Sure. Well, my podcast is called Smart Mouth, two words. It's about food history. And I do Instagram a lot at Smart Mouth Podcast. And then my personal Instagram is Catherine_Spires.
Oh.
Yeah. I tried to separate out between like food all the time and then like real life, which isn't always about food, shockingly enough. And I can't tell if, I don't know. Who knows what people like?
Yeah.
Who the hell knows, really?
Just give them, they want everything, you know?
They do.
Totally
do.
How do you spell Spires over there?
These days, Spiers.
So like Spears.
Fine. Yeah, sure.
I just want to clarify so people can find you.
No, that's a good point because it is not apparently pronounced the way that it is spelled. Right. So my family is the one who doesn't understand, apparently.
Oh.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. This guy named Ryan Sickler. He tweeted, thinking about sleeping on the other side of the bed. Y'all ever do that? Just say fuck it and switch it up? Because it kind of made me chuckle. And also I was like, oh, that's thought provoking. Have I ever done that?
No.
I really had to think
about it. I guess
you
don't share a bed with somebody where the sides are predetermined.
Are you rubbing something in or
no, but it sounds like you have a lot of free time,
right?
Based on how you're sleeping.
Wow.
Or your side is so big.
I thought it was an interesting question.
No, it is. No, and to the point where I'm actually going to be like, yo, I think we need to sleep on different sides. I need to know what that world is like.
It is interesting. It does change everything, your whole perspective.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That is true. Because even like when I go to a hotel and I'm by myself,
yeah,
I have that habit of sleeping on the side I typically sleep on.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And then I just do the full on like starfish in the middle of the bed.
Yeah. But no, then you sound like you're great to share a bed with.
Yeah.
Well, I have 900 fucking animals in my bed at night and I can't even sleep. So that's a whole other podcast I can do.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And there are two reductress tweets that I just want to call out because I love them. One is an old one, but it just gets me every time. And it's why I only fuck men whose Pulp Fiction posters are framed. Like a very sensitive, like sort of contemplative faced woman on it. And another one is a man looking like a real jerk in a kitchen. It says, quick meals for when your roommate's boyfriend is in the kitchen. And the guy looks like just an arrogant asshole and thing. So shout out to you, Reductress. Also, I want to just shout out happy birthday to my girl, Sophie Simpson. Happy birthday to you, young Scorpio. Always thinking about you. And please have a blessed year.
Scorpio. You know what they say about them.
They're
I don't know.
Hey, I mean, they can sting you. Oh. Don't fuck with the Scorpio.
Hey, that's for sure. Just want to say, Miles, great job yesterday. Yesterday's episode was wonderful while I was out trying to solve the bombing.
Thanks. I thought you were going to stay gone, but that's
cool. Wow. And super producer Sophie Lichterman, great job on being the producer today. It's great to have you back. And you only made like 3 loud noises during the show, so really good
sipping
work.
Sipping from an empty can was my favorite.
Just loud slurping. Noise. And a tweet that I've been enjoying is from BEA_KER Beaker. Just went for a piss while still wearing my microphone, and the whole conference heard me call the urinal a thirsty boy.
Oh. It's awful because I feel that that's real. And I just picture everyone being like,
you're a thirsty boy.
Swallow
aren't
it
you?
Up, you thirsty boy. Just get back from the desert. All right, Mojave Thirst.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that stuff in the shenotes. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
This is from Napalm, who's the lead singer of one of my favorite bands, Hiatus Coyote, from Australia. Now, this is her solo album, and this is a track called Crossfire/So Into You. And it's just her. I love her voice. I love her guitar playing. It's a very soulful track. Enjoy. It's not like super beat heavy, but I think you'll enjoy her words, her lyrics, and her melodies. So this is Napalm, Crossfire/So Into You.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. But first, I want to tell you about the trailer for the newest show on the How Stuff Works Comedy Network out of our Los Angeles studios, a creature feature hosted by one Katie Golden, who writes on Twitter as Birds Rights Activist, an adorable bird. She has an amazing show that you guys have to go subscribe to. It's amazing. Every time I sit in on one of these recordings, it's produced by yours truly, and every time I sit in on one of these recordings, I learn something that I can't stop thinking about for the next couple days.
Yeah, so it either gets your imagination going or your paranoia going in one direction or the other.
Yeah, it's all about human evolution and animal behavior and similarities between the human and animal kingdoms. Go subscribe to that immediately. All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.
Fall in love.